Live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios, this is Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000, WMVP Chicago. This is Crosstalk with Carmen, Waddle, Sylvie, and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Thank you to our guests today. We talked to our guy Field Yates. Love having Field now. We talked to Jesse Rogers. Tomorrow we'll talk to Dan Durkin from The Athletic. Real good when it comes to offensive breakdown. Good stuff on the
He's
Bears
really
about the offseason. Yeah, he is. He knows his stuff, man. Very good. His tape study is always fun during the week once the Bears get rolling. Don't forget, tomorrow, Waddle and Sylvie are going to be back at Chicago Cut, this time talking to star in the making, Roquan Smith, carrying the torch of the great linebackers here in Chicago. Yeah. Right, boys? I mean, he's going to be a good one. So tomorrow at Cut with Roquan, don't believe there are any spots left. You can always call Chicago Cut and find out.
Maybe.
Go by and cram in by the bar.
We're in the big room downstairs. We're in a larger room.
All right. We're in the Harbaugh.
We're in the big room.
Maybe a few seats left.
Right. Okay.
You can go big room.
Call Sarah at 312-929-3570.
I'd love to call Sarah. Okay.
And she'll let you know if there's spots available. And you get a great meal. You'll get the Waddle and Sylvie show.
Yeah.
Marcin Greco's going to be there at 3 o'clock nice. In person. Roquan in the 5 o'clock hour.
I was at Fantastic. Chicago Cut on Sunday. Took my daughter there for her 15th birthday.
Nice. Well, that's a great birthday dinner, Yurk.
Oh, yeah. We had a good time, kid. That's what it was all about. You know, we had a good time. It was fun.
Did you see Gene Greco there?
Flammy was up at Country Thunder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went up to Country Thunder to see this cat Stapleton, you know, Chris Stapleton.
I was with him, right?
Yeah. They saw each other. So we had a wonderful time. Food was great. Cheesecake at the end, exceptional.
Oh, yeah.
The double espresso, top notch.
Yeah.
What did you have for your entree?
I had the porterhouse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, medium rare.
Go big or go home.
Medium rare. Yeah, porterhouse. That's what I do.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was so flavorful.
You don't get Wiener Schnitzel over there. You get a good porterhouse.
Oh, no, I bet you they make a mean Wiener Schnitzel.
I bet you they do. I mean, you can get Wiener Schnitzel, I'm sure. If you
I'm
ask.
Getting the steak.
Hans will stop by and make
it. Oh, I tell you. Hansi, Chef Hans makes, I mean, obviously, it's like a free, mean Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh, it's awesome.
And it's mean.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it.
Does it hit back?
No, it doesn't hit back.
It'll smack you right in the
eyeball.
You
should see that guy cooking bacon and eggs and homemade potatoes with a black eye.
Sylvie's
7 in the morning.
The party on the ground.
She makes it with the best of a man, I tell you.
Still don't know how he got the black eye.
Nobody's quite sure.
Oh, I know he got the black eye. You can't go over and sleep with another man and think that you're not going to get punched.
You can't go climbing
into bed with another man and think you're not going to get bopped.
I don't think that happened. But.
Well, no, I'm not saying he was trying to do anything. I'm just saying he was trying to find some spot where he was comfortable.
I don't even think it was that.
Somebody gave him a dotted his eye for him, you know?
What do you think?
I don't think a house full of friendly people would do that, would they?
Friendly. After you've been drinking all night,
only the Lord knows
what's going on at that point.
Burger's a weird guy. I mean, you never know.
Pork Chop was there, too.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
All the guys were there. Porky was there. What was his name? Perry?
Perry, yes.
Perry was
Porky.
There. Porky.
Still is. Yeah.
All the guys were up there.
Yurko is going about the business of eating a Billy Goat cheeseburger now, and I see you're taking a lot of the bread out of the bun.
A little too stuffy. A little too stuffy. A little too much for me.
Why don't you just eat it without the top portobello?
Yeah. I want the top bun, but I just don't
He's
want it all.
He's just loosening it up. Yeah. He's like taking some of the dough part out.
But do you know that is my one gripe with the Billy Goat burger? Like, the burgers are
bun.
Good. There's too much bun because they're the real thin patties.
Yeah. Right. So I
They've got the big
it.
Kaiser roll, and you don't want that. It's my one complaint.
How is it? Good?
Good. Oh, the burgers are they're good, though. That beef, very good.
It's legendary.
It is.
It's a legendary Chicago
place.
Tradition.
Can I get a Coke there?
No Coke Pepsi.
Oh.
No Pepsi Coke. I'll tell you what else is legendary. Pedro Strop blowing leads. That's becoming a Chicago tradition, Sylvie.
I can't defend my guy anymore.
The last 10 days.
Wait, he's been so underappreciated all these years.
And now that people come at me like I'm his pitching coach.
I know.
And look, I don't think I said this last week. Joe can't put him in a setup situation anymore. It's time to get him right. And pitch him in a spot that's not high leverage.
Do they need to flip he and Kinsler?
Oh, for sure.
Right?
I mean, this is like the way I was telling Waddle. Like, just when you get Kinsler right, you get Stropey goes bad. Just when you get Kimbrel here, you know, CJ Edwards comes back and he goes bad. They fix one problem and another problem flares up. And it's been the story of the 2019 Cubs so
far. That's how hard bullpens can be to
fight. It's not just bullpen. This is with their whole team. You know, just when one guy in the starting rotation goes well, they get a Hendricks back. Cole Hamels goes down. You know, Yu Darvish gets good, and then this guy has a slump. And the same with
baseball's
the
baseball's a hard sport.
Hard grind, boys. It is, isn't it?
Boy, they had another good opportunity to take a bigger lead last night.
Yeah.
That a 4-2 lead in the eighth should be a W. That's a W. They've blown far too many of those games.
Yeah, I mean, in the eighth inning, yeah.
How many games have they blown in the seventh, eighth, or ninth this year?
A ton. And look, I don't know how that Giants team's doing
it.
Oh,
my God, it's
because,
ridiculous.
I mean, they're not a great baseball team.
No.
They caught a heater, and they're on a streak now, but... Like, nobody in that lineup's really a true threat to hit it out of their own park.
Brandon Belt, what's he got, like a handful of home runs, 10 or 12? Sandoval's actually had a pretty good bounce
back here. Crawford hasn't had a great power
Panic's
year.
Panic's been terrible. Yeah. I mean, Buster Posey's older.
Of course, Joe Panic picks last night to get hot.
He's been terrible.
Yastrzemski is...
Yastrzemski's kid. Yeah,
he's not a bad player.
He's been all right. I mean, he's finally coming into his own. He's 28, I think. Right. He's no kid.
Well, the guy that was pitching for him last night had like an 8-plus ERA in his last three or four starts. So it was a good opportunity for them to get a win.
They're doing it with smoke and mirrors kind of way, you know? But they're doing it. I mean, what they've done in July is staggering.
Amazing.
And KB has been a subject for Cubs fans where they've said, okay, is he not hitting with runners in scoring position? In the last 3 weeks, Chris Bryant is doing everything well.
Yes.
Everything.
Look at his numbers.
Whether it's base running, whether it's his defense at third or in left field, he made a big play to end the seventh inning. The other day made a big play at the wall later in the game. Chris Bryant is doing everything you want, and just when you get that, and he's playing in an MVP level, now like you look at other parts, and you're like,
Did we see Manny Machado pimp a shot that he thought was a home run? Were they playing the Atlanta Braves last night, or is this a highlight from before? Were the Padres playing the Braves?
No.
You
know who didn't run last night? Was what's his name on Yelich on the Brewers against your Reds? A lot of people were tweeting that out. He had a bouncer to Votto, and he did not move out of the batter's box. And people
is he still having a bad back? Does he still have a bad back?
Well, people were saying, look, if you're going to rip Machado, you got to rip Yelich too. You just can't pick your favorites to yell at.
Padres are playing the Mets.
Okay,
unless
so
they
this
played
must
a makeup
been,
game in Atlanta last night.
I don't know. This must have been a video from before, but.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Machado is a tremendous talent.
Tremendous.
There were two occasions this weekend on the north side where he just...
Oh, I mean, Sunday.
Historically,
that's what drives everybody nuts.
Yeah.
You know, he can hit home runs in back-to-back games.
Bad and Good, Bad and Dirty was an homage to Freddie Huebner in criticizing Machado's lack of hustle.
But they all do it, is my point.
Right.
Javi Baez does it. Chris Bryant did it this year.
Right.
Rizzo has done it. Contreras has done it. They've all... Amora did it.
If anyone should
be hustling all the time,
it's Amora.
It's the guy who's got an on-base percentage of 280.
Of course.
He should hustle all the time.
I thought he was going to make that play last night as well.
I thought so, too. I thought he was going to make it. I did.
That ball didn't even land in the warning track.
No. I was surprised he didn't. And then he was also playing pretty shallow. I mean, he did have a lot of ground to cover. But I was surprised. He's good enough to make that play.
That's the point I was trying to make, Carmen. Maybe this is unreasonable, but... If you're there for defensive reasons,
you better make that.
Yeah, I would. I mean, that was, and maybe I'm being too hard on him for that, but that's a ball I thought. I don't think we ever saw the route he took.
Did he break bad?
I don't know.
Was he Cadillac-ing it?
No. Maybe his range isn't nearly as good as we think.
I don't know. Then you
he's made some other catches that have been great, but. There was another play earlier in the game, wasn't there, that landed in front of him that I thought he was going to...
Two of them.
The base hit that maybe he could have had a chance on.
One hit him in the glove and another he was... You know.
Listen, I know I'm sounding like I'm harsh, but that's what you expect from your plus defenders, especially when they're swinging a pillow.
Right.
Yeah, and especially when you got, like Sylvie said, an on-base percentage of 280 and you're playing, you better make defensive
plays.
That's
right.
I mean, that's tough to trot a guy out there. Almost every day.
For defensive reasons, and he's not making...
He's got a 280 on base percentage, and an OPS plus of like 75. I mean, that's abysmal.
Sylvie said, what were the stats? He's been one of the worst hitters in the last calendar, since last July till now.
Yeah. He's been one of the worst in baseball.
Yeah.
He's been top five worst in baseball offensively.
Can't hit?
There's a couple of moves I'm going to demand the Cubs to make, and I'm going to open the show with that at 2:30.
All right. They're going to make?
I have a couple demands here.
Nick Castellanos, one of them? He's good.
I've got a couple for you.
He doesn't like his own ballpark, does he?
No, he can't wait to get traded. He's ripping the ballpark now, too.
But Mike Valenti, did you hear Mike Valenti with Cap?
I heard him.
You know, again, he's going to provide no defense.
None. They moved him from third because he couldn't play there, and he's in the outfield now. None. But I'll tell you, Mellor and I have probably a skewed opinion. He eviscerates the Sox.
Yeah.
So, like, you ask me, I go, he'll upgrade you. I mean, he kills the White, especially the last couple of years. Every time I see him, he's destroying the White Sox. So, like,
he like a Daniel Murphy type player where he provides nothing defensively, but when he gets hot,
yes,
he can rake.
He can hit for power. I mean, he really does. He's got doubles. You know, he can hit into the gaps. He's got power. I mean, he's a good hitter, but he's going to give you nothing defensively. And that's like putting it mildly. But you hide him in right and you move Hayward over?
I wanted to trade one of the starters for something of substance.
I heard you guys saying that.
Are you willing or no?
But don't you, I mean, is that
taking...
Can your
lefty out of the bullpen be eventually Quintana?
I don't know, but if you...
During the playoffs?
If you disrupt that rotation, are you not taking the playoffs for granted? You may need that rotation intact.
You can't do that.
To even get to the postseason.
You only, like Jesse said, you only get so many kicks at the can.
Right.
And don't start messing and don't start and trading up your big league roster now.
I mean, especially now with Darvish pitching better.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you can pretty much count on, isn't it?
Darvish
that you're going to get a good start from that rotation.
Right. Every
most
fifth
of the
day,
time.
Yeah. You should be. Yeah. Every day, you should be able to be in a ball game.
Darvish is a small favorite against Bumgarner tonight. How about that? I mean, think about saying that
I wouldn't have expected that.
3 months ago.
Is he got the streak of two straight six-inning starts without giving up a run?
Yes. Yes. Boy, it's a hell of a streak.
Is that right?
For him, look,
for $126 million?
I know.
You're getting your money's worth, aren't you, Cub fans?
And he's a small favorite.
All you Cub fans out there.
18 months later, I'm finally getting my money's worth.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Is that what it is?
Finally
getting it?
Ray's giving it to you, too, as far as...
Yeah. As long as I'm willing to lower the bar a distance, then yes, we're getting our money's worth. As long as I'm willing to lower the bar, Tom.
Yes, I'm with you, buddy.
Jeez.
Even when Hayward is making outs this year, a lot of them are really hard hit balls. I mean, he's been
much better.
He's been significantly better than he was before.
Can't argue. His numbers, everything backs up.
Is that guy giving us a peace sign or the finger?
No, he came in.
It was a side saddle piece.
Yeah.
You almost saw the middle finger.
Waddle flipped off the camera yesterday. Was that intentionally or unintentionally?
No, I don't do that.
In our promo video.
I saw that. Yeah. What was going on there?
Quite frankly, I don't know.
I thought you were coming down a narrow. I thought you were coming down a narrow hallway yesterday.
We were.
Maybe limited your freewheeling scope and your catch radius.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, there probably I could make a good case for giving you the finger.
That's what I think it was sort of subconscious.
Listen, you should be giving the finger every day.
But I don't believe that.
On you, Selby. I knew that Potter Blue hat of yours.
I don't think it was a concerted effort.
I love the pre-show videos. In honor of Tarantino's ninth movie coming out on Thursday, we should all wear black suits with black ties and a white shirt.
Yeah, that
Reservoir Dogs. Reservoir Dogs intro for Thursday.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
You know, we really come on. That would look pretty good. Or at least, even if we don't dress like it, we should still do it. Like we should all walk down the hallway with the music. Looking back on the track.
He did Pulp Fiction, right?
Yes, he did.
Why don't you dress up like the Gimp that day?
You want me to do that? I'll do that.
Are you suggesting he's got that outfit?
Yeah. Are you going to be Zed?
Oh.
Zed's dead, baby.
Is that
Zed's
the most dead. Uncomfortable scene in movie history?
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It keeps your attention and you're tense, but you feel uncomfortable.
Tarantino
That's
is such a master.
Icky feeling.
Like, think about the buildup to that scene where you know what's going on. You haven't seen it yet, but as he's taking you through Bruce Willis's progression of which weapon to go to battle with, like, that scene... Tarantino is a master, man. I mean,
he's a master.
He is incredible. And he goes from the hammer to the chainsaw to the samurai sword, and then he flings that door open, and it's like, oh, man. It's just incredible. All right, there's my...
Fantastic. If you've not seen Pulp Fiction...
Who hasn't seen it? I have to go back and see because I don't remember the whole thing.
I'm sure a lot of the young young guys. That's a movie that whenever it's on,
whenever.
No matter which scene they're on, you stay with it.
Like Sylvie said, the tension and that
the
whole
tension
build
in that
up,
scene to me.
I mean, it's incredible.
That and the ear scene from Reservoir Dogs.
That
is very, very tense.
The opening scene from Inglourious Basterds is brilliant. When you know the, how that whole thing plays out. I mean, he's
that's
just
in the farmhouse.
In the farmhouse in France, he's just a true master.
Didn't he do the Magnificent Eight, the remake, or was that somebody else?
Well, no, it was somebody. Yeah, they remade the Magnificent Seven.
No, he made the Hateful Eight.
He made the Hateful
that's
Eight.
That's what I'm thinking.
Which was very good too.
Was that the one where they were all in the and yeah. It was gruesome.
The cabin, Russell.
Yeah. In the cabin. It was gruesome. Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. Great movie.
That was him, right?
Yeah, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood comes out Thursday.
Oh yeah,
his
that
ninth
looks good.
Movie. Yeah,
is it getting good reviews?
All of his movies usually get generally favorable reviews. They've all been pretty good. He doesn't have many stinkers. I mean, I'm not a huge Jackie Brown guy. And some people love it.
So then the theater didn't like it.
Some people love it.
I was expecting greatness.
Right, yeah. But that's like, to me, it's his only
miss. Have you rewatched it, though, recently?
I haven't seen it in many years.
I feel like it's better if you go back and watch it.
You think so?
I've seen it now a couple times over the last few years, and it's better than I remembered.
All right, maybe I should, man. I haven't probably seen it in 10, 15 years. I bet you I haven't seen Jackie Brown. That was right after Pulp Fiction, if I'm not mistaken. So it is a long, long time ago.
Long time.
I know you guys will talk some Bears. What Cap was
Bears.
Real hot at the USA Today. He said they're going to... What was the...
It's not going to end well for them.
Is this because of power rankings?
It may not end well for them, but it's not going to be because of what they predicted the Bears. It may be because nobody's reading newspapers anymore.
Who cares?
Especially the USA Today.
I mean, if I had a college that wasn't in a Power 5 conference,
and my
ranking early in the playoff ranking was really down low, I'd be pissed.
Right.
Because that's what you go by, right? The committee.
But for an NFL team.
NFL, it can all work out.
Doesn't matter.
Who gives a crap about where people view you in power rankings?
I don't worry too much about it. They've got them at like 11th or 9th, I think. I think they had the Bears at 9th. Pro Football Talk has the Bears at 5th. I think everybody knows the Bears are going to be in the sort of handful of teams in the NFC that is going to be expected to compete.
What, four teams in Vegas that are listed ahead of them for odds to win the Super Bowl? Something
a lot
like that.
Of that is based on handle.
Right.
You know, a lot of Bear fans are going to be betting the Bears.
If you like the Bears, wouldn't you want the nation to sleep on the Bears again?
Sure.
That's what you want.
I don't disagree,
Why would you
Sylvie?
Want everyone to say, hey, you know who's number one? The Bears. Sleep on the Bears. Go ahead. Believe they're the ninth best team. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Like for anyone to get
I don't know why anyone gets
over
agitated
a power
about
ranking
it.
When every team controls their own destiny and where they want to go.
Yeah. All right, what's coming up today, boys?
I'm going to tell you my demand.
All right.
There are a couple of simple moves that the Cubs can make, excluding trades, that they need to make today.
Okay.
Today. And I'm going to give you a couple.
Give us one at least.
The Addison Russell stuff that Jesse got, did you read that?
Yep.
The lack of awareness in
of
general.
The signs?
Is the oppo, is the anti Javi Baez. Javi just gets it. Like, he gets baseball. You
yes,
know?
Right. He's born with these.
Yeah, he's got it.
Well, and he's immensely talented. I mean,
well,
I know, but I mean, the guy that doesn't have that talent should pay more attention.
So we'll get into that. And Dan Weederer at 3. We're going to go through top 5 guys other than quarterback, because that's obvious, and kicker, because that's obvious. 5 guys who we're putting on the spot this year to really perform.
Sounds good.
So we'll give you our opinions on that. Take all your phone calls. We've got Would You Rather. We want your entries today. Hashtag at WS Would You Rather. You can email us. Waddle and Sylvie at ESPN.com. Jesse, Jeff Passan, Dan Weeder.
Sounds good, boys. Have a great show. Waddle and Sylvie, get you home next. We'll see you tomorrow on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie, afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
Ground ball, and it's through. Sandoval around third's going to score. It's a one-run game again. Brandon Crawford makes it 4-3. Almora going back on it. Over his head. Pilar around third will score. Austin Slater with a game-time double. And the Giants have come all the way back with the go-ahead run in scoring position. Bullpen still quiet. Fair ball. Giants are going to get the lead. Panic the second. He's got a double. A 3-run 8 for San Francisco.
sort of reminded me of the 2016 playoff game where the Cubs came back in Game 4, except the opposite. Except this time it was the Giants who rallied. Stropey is really struggling. Yeah. He is my guy. I absolutely love him. For years, I always called him the most underappreciated the Cub. He is in a major funk, major slump. His ERA is well over 5 these days.
Got to stand by your man. Hope that he gets his good stuff back.
Well, look, you don't have to, quote, stand by him. You just have to use him and nurse him back to at least respectability. You cannot use him anymore in the setup role. Yeah, I said this last week. And I've been joking that every time he comes in now, I'm watching through, you know, a hand over my eyes. I'm peeking. You've got to use Strope now, and you've got to upgrade Kinsler. You've got to use Kinsler in a high-leverage situation. C-Sheck stays in high-leverage situations, and you've got to use Strope. He's picked you up for years, and especially in the recent last year or two, where you signed Brendan Morrow, and he's done nothing. And then you've had to go to Strope because your closer wasn't available. And Pedro Strope overachieved, and he's been used in many different situations that really wasn't where he... That's not his role, but he still was able to fill it. And he's had some injuries lately, and now, Waddle, you've got to get him right.
I'm with you. I just think you should stand by. Send him a text. Tell him you're thinking about
it. Oh, I'm loyal. Look, yeah. I'm with Strope. I'll take the next flight to San Fran if the Cubs are willing to have me out there.
Yeah.
If you need to,
you know what you need to give him is him? There are cuddlers, professional cuddlers,
right?
Huggers, people that provide comfort for those that are going through, you know, in this case, a difficult professional time. I'm with you. I think he's been a vital part of a lot of the success the Cubs have had over the last several years. He's in a funk right now. I don't know what's wrong with his stuff, but his stuff isn't good.
Now
you have to shuffle, you know, how you use your arms.
So look. My hat is still to the left, but I don't want Pedro Strope used in that situation. And Joe put him out there again yesterday. Joe expected C.J. Edwards to get a big out the other day. There are some guys right now, every game being so important, that you're just going to have to use him in the sixth inning, and hopefully he can get you through an inning.
Maybe Kinsler's that guy. Maybe Kinsler, he plays the Pedro Strope role. Because I'm still expecting C-Shack's arm to fall off before the season's over.
Look, you acquired Brad Brock to be good. He was good with the Orioles in the past. He's been terrible this year. Cubs fans probably rolled their eyes when I mentioned Brad Brock. Maybe he could get on more of a role. You're going to need arms, though, to get to Kimbrel. Now you finally got the ninth figured out. And now, of course, the bridge guys to get you into the ninth, there's some uncertainty there, and Theo's going to have to go out and get somebody.
Last year, Steve Cishek did an admirable job, had a whip of, 1.04 and an ERA just over 2. And he had a career high
80 appearances
and 70 innings pitched. He's currently on pace to pitch 73 innings this year.
It's a lot. That's a lot of innings.
For a 33-year-old guy who's, you know. So it's a bit of a dilemma, and it's a reason why I think there's still a move that it will be made by Theo for a bullpen.
I think there are a couple, and I'll give you my... I can't tell you who to trade for. You could say guys who are out there, but there are moves within this roster and within this organization that you need to make. I'll give you that in a moment. But I just keep your eye on a trade, too, like a Jesse Chavez type of move. No one, when you acquired Jesse Chavez, thought that he would ever become your most reliable reliever down the stretch last year. But when the Cubs needed Jesse Chavez to bridge to Pedro Strope, he was the guy. He was your setup guy. So not only do they need a lefty, but they're going to need an underrated guy who you figure maybe he's got a high ceiling, like a Chavez type. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and those guys are historically, I think, easier to find than some other positions because it is such an inconsistent up-and-down position. It's the most unreliable position in all of baseball from my perspective. One year, like Pedro Strope, unhittable. The next year, he's throwing beach balls to the opposing team. That's the nature of that beast. Kinsler wasn't this good last year. It's a roller coaster ride for most bullpen arms.
They wanted to get rid of Kinsler. Remember that. They wanted him off the team. He had the player option that he exercised. And sure enough, he worked with Tommy Hotovy. Now, all of a sudden, thank goodness, Brandon Kinsler's on this team.
It's a roller coaster in the bullpen. You just got to find somebody that's hot and ride that guy, knowing full well that the following year your bullpen may look entirely different.
Let me start with this. Here's what you need to do if you're Theo Epstein today. I was texting with Jesse. I don't want to hear that Descalso is signed for 2 years. Okay? You signed Descalso thinking he would be the veteran bat and the good leadership you needed. You're playing every night with 24. You're starting with 24. And when every roster spot and you've got holes in this roster, whether it's at second base, whether it's in center field, whether it's with the bullpen, when you have that many holes, when you're only using a 24-man roster because Daniel Descalso is useless, you have to go to your ownership and you have to say, I understand we signed this guy. And I understand that he signed for next year.
My bad.
We have to, it's our bad. Excuse us. And you can bring the Forbes list to the owner and say, here's the $3.1 billion your team is valued at. Please help with buying out this mistake. And whether they want to do that or not, you could finagle some things. Whether you want to put Descalso on the injured list and you want to say, uh-oh, Descalso's got another bad hammy. And you want to get him to the injured list and you want to use... I'm not telling you that Ian Happ is going to solve these issues, but there are moves you can make within this roster where, at least by bringing Happ up, you have a guy who certainly can do, at the very least, more than Almora's doing in center field.
Can't you accidentally push Descalso down like 3 or 4 steps and just, you don't want to hurt him? But maybe he tweaks something.
Do you have to actually do the push? You can give him
two options. Either you're going to have to claim that you have it, or you know what?
Put your head on a swivel.
Or Anthony Rizzo may be behind you at some point as you check into a hotel.
Can't you just say, hey, Daniel, tell people you fell down the steps instead of actually doing it?
Yeah, you're right. That's insensitive of me. I apologize. I'm not. I don't think that was classy of me to suggest maybe a real injury. I think a fake injury will do just fine.
So do that. So that's one roster spot.
You know what? This is, you get back to your money point too, and you mentioned the Forbes thing. This is what I've always felt about big market teams: the fact that you have the capacity to spend a lot of money. It doesn't guarantee you championships, but it guarantees that you can buy yourself out of some bad mistakes quicker and easier than other teams. Like if you're the Reds or you're the Baltimore Orioles or you're somebody else that claims that you don't have the capacity to pay for these things, you don't have the advantage that the Cubs have, that they can use their vast resources and the money that they generate consistently to buy themselves out of their, self-inflicted wounds, but you can buy yourself out of your mistakes more easily than the Kansas City Royals can.
Right. Do you remember what David Ross hit in 2015?
Like $1.90, right?
David Ross hit lower than that in his first year with the Cubs. He hit $1.76. His on-base percentage was .267. Do you know how many home runs David Ross had in 2015?
One.
He had 9 RBIs. And then he became a legend in 2016 with the Cubs. But at least, with all that being said, with the badness that David Ross had with the bat, he was still useful because he caught John Lester, and he was important to John Lester. So you kept him, and you signed him to a 2-year deal. Daniel Descalso, at this point, is useless. There is nothing that he does. He doesn't come in as a defensive replacement. You can't pinch hit him. He cannot start. You must find a way to get him off your roster, whether you want to push him down a flight of stairs like Waddle suggested.
Just joking.
Whether you want to fake that he fell down a flight of stairs.
That's better option.
Whether you want to say to him, look, Daniel, we want to have you back next year when we can reset you, sort of like David Ross reset from 15 to 16.
We'll give it another try next year.
You know, David Ross went from hitting .176 to hitting .229 with a .338 on base percentage, and he hit 10 home runs in his last year. And by the way, hit a Game 7 home run. So it can be done where you have this disastrous year, and he could come back next year. But in the meantime, now when you're totally lost, we need to DFA you. We need to DL you. We need to do something because we're playing with 24.
That's a very good point.
We're playing with 24. The second thing you need to do is you need to option Addison Russell out of here. You need to option him to AAA. And yes, if you need to keep him because, like Jesse said, if Javi does get hurt, there is no other shortstop on this team. And just because of numbers-wise, you need a shortstop. But you can always get him up on the next flight from Iowa or wherever they're playing. But in the meantime, the guy has admitted he doesn't know the signs. The guy's losing balls in the sun. The guy is making mental errors in the field. The guy isn't hitting like you expect him to hit. So now you're sort of playing with 23.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, so, and it's inexcusable for a guy who knew he was fighting for his professional life inside this franchise to even talk about making mental mistakes.
You cannot take Albert Elmora out of the roster, as bad as he's been, because you need someone defensively late in the baseball game. You know, you need someone with everyone, with all these guys that you're playing in the outfield. Albert Elmora should now only be played as a defensive replacement or in a matchup that you really, really, really like.
How many of those are there?
And there's not many these days. And he had an RBI yesterday. That was a little flare that found its way, you know. But to me right now, Descalzo has to go. These are moves that you can control. Like, I could say, look, there's this guy I want you to trade for, but we're playing fantasy GM. These are things that you can control as a general manager president that you need now. Mike Montgomery wasn't helping you. So what'd they do? They finally found a guy who would take him.
And actually, Maldonado has served a purpose. You know, he doesn't hit the ball very well, but defensively, he has served. At least he's your he can serve as like a defensive specialist behind the play.
So those are the moves within before you can trade for somebody. Bring Hap up here. He's faster. He's got more pop than Elmora at least has. And he'll be on base more because he takes a walk. Even last year when he struggled, I think Hap had like a .315, .320 on base percentage. We're talking about Elmora at like .280. He's faster too. There's lots of things. He could play some second. He could play some outfield. He could hit home runs.
Ian Happ's on base percentage last year, you forget, was .350.
Okay, so he was
.353.
So he can do more even if he's not the player you think he can be when you drafted him out of Cincinnati. So those, on the very least, are moves you can make today. Descalzo, get him out of here. Get him worthless. And again, if you want to bring him back when the rosters expand and you hope an offseason, next year he could fill the role.
What would you do with him? Because he doesn't have any options, right? What does he do?
You would have to say to him, wink, wink, you're hurt.
I'll put him on the injury list.
Yeah, and then after that, put him in a rehab stint. Maybe misses 3 weeks. Yeah. Then all of a sudden he's on a rehab situation. Then when the rosters expand, hopefully Zobrist is back.
Well, why don't they do that? If you can see, it's like, if you can see, and you're
sure
a smart baseball guy, but you're not a baseball executive.
Maybe he won't do it. Maybe he says, look, if you don't, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
you're going to have to DFA me.
That's a touchy situation. Yeah, like if a club is dictating the player that he's injured when he's not,
okay, but that's fine,
you can file a grievance.
That's fine, but you could go to the player. You're right. You don't want to expose yourself to that. But you could go to the guy and say, listen, otherwise we're just going to buy you out and let you go. Maybe that's what he would prefer. I don't know.
A guy says maybe you can just leave him at Alcatraz. Then, you know, we say he can't
swim
find
back.
Him. He's on a restricted list. We cannot find Daniel Descalzo.
That's even more. You know what? That's more cruel than me joking about falling down a couple stairs.
So,
I'm talking like 20 stairs. I'm talking like two. like, oh my goodness, I tripped and I just casually sprained my ankle type of fall.
Yeah.
Controlled like, fall. No long-term damage.
Trip over a gym bag, yes, a la Carlos Boozer.
Something like that.
312-332-3776. That's where I start. Now do some work before the deadline. That's up to Theo by targeting the right guys and make some trades here like you did last year at the deadline with Cole Hamels and Chavez. But how do you like my starting point? 312-332-3776. I also want to bring up a couple of things that I saw on Twitter last night from Sox fans who did not like the netting. And if you went to the game on the south side, if you did not like the netting, or if you went to the game and you said, hey, I didn't notice a difference, we want to hear from you. And boy, Moncada has really made some strides this year. He has emerged into a star. 332-3776 as we talk baseball. Dan Weider at 3 o'clock. We have flip-flopped Jesse and Passan because of time restraints. So Jesse will join us at 4, Jeff Passan at 5:30 today.
Guys, it's about time you took my advice and changed the way you experience television. Xfinity X1 is the simplest, fastest, and most complete way to access all of your entertainment on all your screens. There are so many game-changing features that make my life a whole lot easier. There's the voice remote, the show recommendations, sports app, even something as simple as their back button. How about this? Are you or is there someone in your family a channel flipper during commercials? Do you forget which channel you were watching because you flipped so many times? Well, X1 makes it very simple for you. Just press the back button and the last 9 channels or shows that you viewed will pop up. Take my advice. It's a great, great thing for old guys like me. Get started. Call my friends at 1-800-XFINITY. Visit Xfinity.com or drop into an Xfinity store today for more details.
When you barely use a guy like Chatwood, and then you're not using Descalso, and Addison Russell's making his match, you're already short. When you have so many holes in this roster, you have to get some of these guys out of here. 312-332-3776 if you want to react. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Moncada drives it. Center field. Cuello back. It is out of here. One swing glory for Moncada. Send him home.
That's home run number 18. He's driven in 55.
Boy, is he good. And the White Sox have had other guys take steps this year, and they've at least been winning recently after that skid out of the All-Star break. But we'll see what they do at the trade deadline. The netting was a big story yesterday. I'm looking for the tweets, Waddle. I always say to people, I go,
call a show.
Call the show. Here's one guy saying, personal responsibility is a novel concept with these nanny stasis. Nobody's being forced to buy a ticket to sit there. I choose not to, so I don't have to worry about dodging baseballs. Many already bought the high money tickets for this year with expectations of no nets. And a guy, T-Bus, was the first guy.
T-Bus
tweeted me, and he said, the netting will prevent me from going to games.
It will?
He said, yes, it will. And he said, sorry, not interested in being on the air. I'm not paying $50 to $100 per seat to sit behind a net. I purposely didn't sit behind home plate this season for that reason. You're at a ball game, so pay attention to foul balls. I hate that people have been hurt, but I don't have to spend money to be there.
And fortunately, in our society, he's allowed to have that opinion, and he chooses to do that.
If you don't
want to rage against that,
if you don't want to sit behind a net, it's one thing. But the paying attention, we know the paying attention argument is flawed. It's completely flawed. Players get hit who are in the field and they're wearing gloves, for goodness sake. How do you expect a fan holding a 3-year-old to protect themselves when a ball is traveling 110 miles an hour?
Now, again, just for the sake of argument, this is my own personal choice. I'm not taking a 3-year-old in sitting in that portion of the stadium. That's just me. I'm not going to criticize anybody that does, but I'm not going to take a 3-year-old and sit on the left field line right above the dugout. I'm not personally comfortable for that. If there was a net up, then that's a different story. Look, you can choose to do whatever you want to do. If I'm an owner of a baseball team, I'm putting the net up to protect my fans. And I respect the opinions of the people that are paying their hard-earned money to buy these tickets. And if for whatever reason they feel that the netting impedes their enjoyment of the game, apologies, but we have to do what's best for everybody involved.
Jeff Passan will weigh in this a little bit later. If you were at the Sox game last night, did it change the way you sort of watched the game wherever you sat? 312-332-3776. Michael and Wilmette, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. Enjoying listening to the debate about what the Cubs ought to do with roster moves. But I disagree with the idea that Hap is going to turn things around for you and that he's out there instead of Elmora Jr. I think Elmora does a much better job. I think Hap always looked very awkward out in left or center field when he played there last year. And I just don't think they've given him enough time. Going back to last year, you know, they were platooning the hell out of him, and he had a great first three quarters of the year. And I think that's being overlooked here. And you may talk about Hap's numbers and what they were, but there was obviously a reason why they sent him down at the beginning of the year, why he wasn't with the club. And if you look at his numbers now, he's not really killing it in Triple A.
I felt the same way you did, Michael, about Albert Elmora Jr. when the season started. I thought they should put him in and leaving him to see what he's got. And I thought there was too much platooning and stuff. I wanted to see the young guy play. He's 25. Just turned 25 in April. He played in 152 games last year and had 444 at-bats and hit .286 with an on-base percentage of .327. His OPS was .700, .701. So nothing fantastic.
But you could live with that. You would love to live with that this year.
Right. This year, in 95 games and 280 at-bats, you've gotten 9 home runs from him, but everyone's hitting home runs. He's hitting .239 with an on-base percentage of .275. And Mellor, did you find the advanced defensive statistics? I don't think he's nearly, for whatever reason, I'm not saying he's a bad outfielder. I bet his advanced stats defensively aren't as good as what, like, I'll say me personally probably thought they were.
I'm still digging around for an exact number that kind of illustrates what you're talking about.
But yes, like a while ago that his range factor
and all those stats are kind of league average.
Right.
He doesn't, look, I think we know this, just he's not a fast runner.
Right.
So he makes catches that look very nice, but when he's not getting great jumps that other players perhaps are, it maybe looks more impressive, but he's not covering the same amount of ground that faster center fielders and better fielders are.
I know. I'm with our last caller about, look, you bring Hap up and you've got Schwarber in left and then Hap in center. You've got some defensive issues there for sure. But again, and I don't know if Hap is totally revitalized, but every game is so important. And he right now is a much bigger threat offensively than what you're currently doing with Elmora. And that's why you can't give Elmora room to grow. These games are too important now. You have to, like, there's a guy on Twitter, Don Frederick, who I follow, who's got a huge Cubs following. His saying these days is best nine. Give me the best nine players every day. No more this matchup or that matchup. He wants the best eight position players out there each and every day. And screw the rest.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know,
forget the rest and forget. The games are too important.
Albert Elmora has a .4 defensive WAR. In comparison, Lorenzo Cain for the Brewers is a 1.4 defensive WAR.
And from some of the newer StatCast numbers, they seem to show that Elmora takes poor routes as a runner when he's fielding. So even though they look impressive, he's got a lot of wasted space.
So if you want to weigh in, 332-3776 about the Cubs and roster moves or about the White Sox, if you were at the game and you had a thought on the net, I'm getting some good stuff on Twitter regarding that.
Chicago knows that defense wins championships, but a great defense is also key for any business to succeed. Over 500,000 organizations worldwide have turned to Trend Micro because their innovative solutions can defend against the most complex cyber threats. Trend Micro's hybrid cloud security gives your organization a single cloud-friendly solution that won't slow you down. Trend Micro's team of forward-looking, passionate people will protect your business with their cross-generational security strategy. That's the art of cybersecurity. Discover more at trendmicro.com/ESPN. That's trendmicro.com/ESPN.
All right. Our Bears on the spot list we've got for you with Dan Wiederer coming up. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.